You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life, so tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Give it up for Jesus. Give it up for the King. Oh, it's so good to be in church this morning. You can take your seats. Say hello to the people around you. If you don't know me, my name is Johnny. I'm married to my wonderful wife, Miriam, here. And we are the Cardiff Campus Pastors. If you're watching online from Cardiff, we are coming for you. And it's so good to be part of this Summer Unlocked series. As we know, the sun is not shining, but you do not need the sun outside if you've got the Son of God inside. Oh, that is true until I go into holiday in 2 weeks, hopefully where there's sun and you do need both. But it's so good. I mean, how many of you were here last week for Pastor Mark, which was Praise Unlocked? And I'm excited for these next 4 weeks because I believe God wants to do something greater. I believe he doesn't just want what was normal, but he wants to do a new normal because the Bible says that the latter will be greater than the former. And I believe that the greatest days of the church are not the ones that we've seen in the history books, but the greatest days are now. Come on, just for a moment, why don't we give it up for Jesus and what he's about to do? So yeah, if you may or may not know me, but there's two things I follow in life that you've got to know. And one of them is adventure and the other is mischief. And how many of you know that's a bad combination? It was 2012 and I was living in Poland and I had the opportunity to actually, the England football team were in the city. And I had an opportunity to watch them train and I'm about to tell you the greatest story you're ever going to hear today. At the end of the training session, I thought, wouldn't it be great if I got an autograph or a picture? So I go round to where the team is and in the changing room and I go to the first gate and this big Polish security guard is there and he says something to me in Polish and I just smile at him and next thing he opens the gate. So I thought, I'll walk on in. I get to the next gate and there's all press and media and I talk to them, I introduce myself and the gate opens and they say, hey, come in with us. I then get to the third gate and I see these guys, Polish security. I say hello to them in Polish, Dzień dobry, and I walk straight past and then I walk into the England changing area. This is a true story, people. You'll see this guy on the screen. You may or may not know him. I don't have to mention his name, but he's an ex-England legend. And I think this is amazing. I've got into this room, but there's one more room I need to get into. I need to get into the England changing room. So I make my way to the England changing room. And at the time, out walks the greatest defender in world football. I say, can I have a photo? He says, sure. And next thing I know, there's a hand on my shoulder and I'm quickly escorted out. Now, the greatest part of the story, and believe me, this is true, the very next day, this was the front page of all the national newspapers. I told you it was good. You know, the truth is, you can applaud if you want. It is my greatest achievement yet, apart from my wife and my kids. But the thing is, the headline was nothing actually about the room. It was who was in the room. Because who's in the room changes everything. And you know, rooms hold memories for us. I remember the room where I proposed to my wife. I remember the room where we brought our first child into the earth, those 18 joyous hours. And rooms hold memories, and they can hold good memories, but often more than not, it's the bad memories that come back to haunt us. This message this morning is 4 months in the making for me because 4 months ago, I was in a hospital waiting room. And the doctor walked in and he said, I'm so sorry, but unexpectedly, we've lost your mum. There's nothing we can do. And I remember being sat in the room as the nurse goes next door to where my mum's body lay. And she begins to collect her belongings, her rings, her watch, her necklace. She picks up the phone with multiple missed calls. She puts them in a bag and she comes back into the room and she hands this bag over and she says, I'm so sorry. I knew in that moment as I reached out to take that bag, the sledgehammer of reality hit me, I would never see my mum again in this life. For some of you this morning, you can relate to that room. You've been in a room of grief where you've lost someone or something. For others, it might be you've been in a room of trauma where you've seen something, you've heard something, or there's been compromise or even abuse. For some of you this morning, it might not be a physical room, but it might be a mental room of anxiety, of fear, of depression, or a room of loneliness or isolation. But whatever room you're in this morning, I'm here to tell you that there's someone else in the room. And we're going to open up the word, we're going to open up the truth, and we're going to read from Mark 5:21, and it's the story of Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood. And at verse 21, it says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. While he was by the lake, then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped. Verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, your daughter is dead. And they said, why bother the teacher anymore? Verse 38, when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. Verse 41, Jesus walks into the room. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha Akuman, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around, and she was 12 years old. The title of my message this morning is He's in the Room. You know, I love the story of Jairus, how from one moment he went from tragedy to triumph. But what changed for Jairus is when Jesus came into his house, when Jesus came into the room. You see, when Jesus is in the room, everything changes. When Jesus is in the room, chains begin to break. When Jesus is in the room, dead things come to life. When Jesus is in the room, cancers are healed. When Jesus is in the room, prodigal sons and daughters come running back to him. When Jesus is in the room, sickness is healed. Marriages are restored, because when Jesus is in the room, everything changes. We're going to look at the story of Jairus this morning, and we're going to look at what happens when Jesus is in the room. And in a moment, we're going to open up this altar, and you're going to encounter Jesus, because right now he's in this room. Whatever you're going for, if you're watching online, I want to tell you he's in the room. And when Jesus is in the room, dead things come to life. Verse 35, it says, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? You know, I think one of the most dangerous outcomes of this whole pandemic is a generation that says, why bother? Why bother going out when I can just stay at home? Why bother going to church when I can sit back and just keep my faith? And you know, there's a danger that almost restriction can become the new religion. Where we once sought for freedom, we now just accept the familiar. Where we once craved adventure, we now accept apathy. And I'm sure in this room and watching online, you've all been through seasons of why bother? For me, these last 4 months, in the first few days, I'm like, my mum is dead, why bother? For you this morning, it might be my marriage is dead. Why bother? My family's walk with Jesus is dead. Why bother? My business is dead. Why bother? And I've prayed and I've fasted and I've been in church week after week, yet it all feels dead. It feels like I'm walking through an eternal wilderness. I don't know if you've been watching the Olympics, but I read an incredible story about a small village in Ethiopia called Bikoji. And this small village has a population of only 17,000 people. Yet over the course of 20 years, they've won 16 Olympic medals in middle distance running and over 30 world championships. You see, from the outside, people could go, wow, they must have the best training facilities. They must have the best start in life. In fact, the opposite is true. Because this village is some of the remotest, hottest, driest places on earth. And children from the age of 5 to 6, if they want to survive, they have to run. If they want education, they have to run. If they want healthcare, they have to run. Just to survive, they have to run. And from the outside, what can seem like a dry, barren wilderness is actually a place which has been breeding world champions. And I'm here to tell you this morning, whatever has been feeling like a wilderness to you, Jesus is saying, I'm taking you in the wilderness because I want to build resilience, because I'm pressing you for your purpose, because I am finished with you yet. And what I love about the story of Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood is that they persevere through the wilderness. And here's the thing, Jairus' daughter was 12 years old, and the woman with issue of blood, she'd been suffering for 12 years. For both of them, the miracle was 12 years in the making. But when the Bible says, when they got hold of Jesus, when Jesus came into the room, immediately the girl was brought to life. Immediately the woman was healed. And I want to declare what has felt like a wilderness, what has felt like an eternity, right now in the instant, in the immediate, God can bring a miracle. He can bring a breakthrough. He can bring a healing. My favorite part of this passage is when Jesus comes into the room and he says this girl is not dead, she's just asleep. And it says the room laughed. You know, the room laughed because they didn't know who was in the room. For everyone who's discounted you, that's told you that you couldn't do it, that you would never make it, the thing they didn't realize who was in your room. And I want to prophesy 12 months from now, when you look back at what God is about to do, the only response you'll have is to laugh. To laugh at his favor, to laugh at his provision, to laugh at the miracle. Because just like Jairus, the thing you thought was dead in this moment, God is about to bring back to life. Come on, over your marriage, over your business, we prophesy right now. Dry bones come to life. It's not dead, it's just asleep. It's time to wake up. Let the sleeping giant rise. And the band can come up. As I told you, we're going to keep it short. We're going to have a time of encounter this morning. But when Jesus is in your room, morning turns into dancing. And I wonder how Jairus felt when he heard the news, your daughter is dead. I wonder in that moment, the disbelief, the shock, the anger. And if you've ever lost someone, you know how you feel in that moment. For me, in the first 3 days of losing my mum, it was like a tsunami of emotion. I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't run, I couldn't escape. But I want to tell you, on day 4, something unbelievable, inexplicable happened. On day 4, I sat up in bed and I started to laugh. And I felt this presence, and I felt this joy, and I felt this hope. The only way I could describe it is like Jesus had walked into my room. And I said to Miriam, this doesn't feel right. This is just a blip. Tomorrow I'll wake up with the heaviness. But on day 5, I woke up in the joy and the peace and the hope. And Jesus was still in my room. And in day 6, and day 7, and day 8, and day 9, and day 10, Jesus was in my room. And I said to Miriam, I started to Google, am I skipping grief? Am I in denial? And I said to Miriam, I need some closure. I made a decision when my mum passed away. I didn't want to physically see the body. But I thought, if I just go to the funeral home, if I just see the coffin that she's in, maybe it will stir up some emotion. So I went to the funeral home and at this tiny little room, and it said Shirley Cummings. And I opened up the door and I went inside, and there my mum's coffin lay. And I walked in and I felt nothing. So I closed my eyes and I put my hand on the coffin. And out of nowhere, this band of light hit my eye. I could see the room around me begin to fill with light, and I was so frightened to open my eyes in case this light left. And then I heard the word victory, and I began to jump up. I began to punch the air. I began to run around the room and declare victory. And then the door opened and Miriam walked in and she said, what are you doing? I want to tell you, yes, I've mourned. Yes, I've grieved. Yes, there's been times where I've curled up in a ball and sobbed, and my children have come and put blankets on me and put their hands on me. But when Jesus is in your room, he can take what is brutal and make it beautiful. Because the Bible says in Psalm 30, you've turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You've taken away my clothes of mourning and you've clothed me with joy. You know, for the last 3 months, I've danced like no one's watching. I've danced because the King is in my room, and this morning he sees your circumstance, he sees your situation, and he's saying it doesn't matter how broken you are, how ugly the situation is, but he's saying, will you dance? with the King? Will you let me take your ashes and turn it into beauty? Will you let me take your problems and turn it into praise? Will you let me turn your mourning into dancing? You know, I prayed to God. I said, God, why on day four? Why did it all change? And God showed me the cross. He said, for 3 days, there was mourning. Even on day three, the news was yet to filter out. But on day four, when the accounts began to get verified, when people realized that the King was more alive now than he'd ever been, when they realized that death had no hold, I want to tell you that mourning turned into dancing, because on day four, the world changed forever. And this morning, we're going to open up this altar, and some of you, you're going to get an instant healing and an instant breakthrough. But for others, for the next 3 days, you need to pursue Jesus. You need to fall at his feet. And I prophesy on day four, he's about to walk into your room and he's going to turn your mourning into dancing. You know, when Jesus comes into the room, the light overcomes darkness. My favorite country in the world is Iceland. I've been there 3 or 4 times. If you ever want to go, I'll take you. I'll be your tour guide. You just need to pay for my expenses, my flight, my accommodation, and we're all good. Crazy thing about Iceland is the seasons. In summer, they have nearly 24 hours of daylight. In summer, it's round the clock light. But in winter, the opposite is true. In winter, they have almost 20 hours of darkness. In winter, it would seem like the darkness will never end. You know, in life, we all go through dark seasons, dark days, dark weeks, dark months. And for Jairus, when he knew his daughter was ill, and then he gets the news that his daughter had died, for Jairus, it was the darkest moment of his life. You know, before Christmas, I had what I felt for me was a dark week. I was in a church meeting, and out of nowhere, a social anxiety and a panic came over to me. And I ran out the room and I didn't know what to do, and I began to cry and I couldn't breathe. And for 5 days and 5 nights, this darkness didn't leave. For 5 days and 5 nights, I wondered, would the darkness ever end? Would I ever see the light? And you know, sometimes when you're in the middle of darkness, it can feel like the darkness has won. I wonder how the disciples felt as the Roman soldiers took the body of Jesus and they placed him in the tomb and they rolled the stone across. I wonder how Mary and Joseph felt, how they felt like darkness had won. I can imagine the news start to filter through hell as the demons begin to walk round and declare the King is dead. Long live Lucifer. But what the devil didn't know is in the darkest moment, in the darkest tomb, when Jesus is in the room, the light always has the final word. The light can never be put out. The light always wins, because he might have tasted death, but he's never tasted defeat. And right now in this place, there's a light beginning to pierce through the darkness, to pierce through your situation, to pierce through depression, to pierce through disease, because the Bible says that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And I want to tell you, even though they put a rock on the tomb, the seal in the darkness, the rock on the tomb could not hold the rock of my salvation. That could hold the rock that is Jesus Christ, the rock which broke my chains, the rock which broke my addiction, the rock which broke my anxiety, the rock this morning which is setting you free, which is setting you loose, because he is the light and the light will not be overcome. Right now, we're going to open up the altar. And if you need Jesus in your situation, if you need Jesus in your room, if you're watching online, I want to open up the altar. I don't care if you're a pastor or a leader, or it's your first time. Right now, I want you to make your way to the front, because the King of Kings is in this room. If you need a touch from Jesus right now, make your way. Like the woman of Jairus and the woman of issue of blood, would you make your way to the front? Right now, come on. The King is here. If you want to kneel, kneel. If you want to stand, stand. If you're at home, the King is in your room. Do what you can to position, make your way, squeeze right down, because Jesus is in the room. Your healer is in the room. Your provider is in the room. The Redeemer is in the room. The Restorer is in the room. I want to pray right now. I want to pray specifically if you've had trauma in a room. You know, God woke me up 2 weeks ago at 4 a.m. and he gave me a word that broke my heart, and I sobbed for 2 hours. And I feel for some of you, you're watching online or you're here in this building, that you've lost a baby before birth. And that room has held so much trauma. But Jesus says, I was in that room. And when you wept, I wept. But for you, what you saw as a trauma for me was a transfer, because I held them when you couldn't hold them. And this morning, I want to take away that trauma and I want to replace it with triumph. If you've had any type of trauma in a room with every eye closed, what I want you to do is just reach your hands out. Not just trauma of a child, but trauma. You've seen something, you've heard something. But on the count of three, Jesus is in this room and he's about to take the trauma and he's going to replace it with triumph. Come on, all across this place with every eye closed. If you're online, just type the word pray and the prayer team are standing with you. One. Oh, he's your healer. He's your restorer. Two. He's your victor. He's your father. Three. He's your triumph. He's your triumph. He's your triumph across this place. He's your triumph. He's your triumph. He's your triumph. Jesus, right now, fill this room. Fill this room. Break every chain. Let every giant fall. Holy Spirit, come and fill this room right now. You're healing, you're repairing, you're restoring. He's your healer, he's your victor, he's your salvation. The Alpha, the Omega is in this room right now. You know, we're going to start to sing this song, Beautiful Name. On the day we put my mum to rest, we told the kids, today we're going to have a party like no other. We're going to have a party for Grandma. And on the service, Linus was there and she sang this song, What a Beautiful Name. And the day we got home, we put my kids to bed and we sat on the sofa and I heard the kids begin to sob and to wail. And I ran up to the room and Caleb, my little boy, who's only three, with tears streaming down his face, he says, Daddy, why wasn't Grandma at her party? Charlotte, who's five, she says to me, she says, Oh, Daddy, I just need my grandma. And then she says, Daddy, we need the grandma song. I said, Charlotte, what's the grandma song? She said, we need the Beautiful Name song. Daddy, we need the Beautiful Name song. And for 3 weeks, every single night, we worshipped and we wept. We worshipped and we wept. We worshipped and we wept. And we worshipped until joy came into the room. We worshipped until peace came into the room. We worshipped till our Savior came into the room. And the Bible says this, those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. And as we begin to sing this song, Jesus says, I've seen every tear and I've caught every tear, but not one tear has gone to waste, because every tear has been a seed. And right now I'm about to unleash a harvest of joy, a harvest of peace, a harvest of hope, because Jesus is in the room. Come on now, across this place, let's have a time of worship.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of
Thank you right now. Jesus, you're in the room. Your Savior is in the room. Your Victor is in the room. Your Healer is in the room. Your Restorer is in the room. Come on, can we just declare this? Death cannot hold you just for 1 minute. Let's declare it.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.